U.S. Vice President Joe Biden has urged Ayad Alawi, one of two main contenders vying to become Iraq's next prime minister, to speed up efforts to form an inclusive and legitimate government. Political discussions on a new government have been deadlocked for nearly 7 months since the March elections that produced no clear winner. The vice president's office said that during their telephone conversation Tuesday, the two leaders discussed the status of negotiations on formation of a new Iraqi government. Biden told the former Iraqi prime minister, who leads the Iraqi alliance, that the U.S. is not backing specific candidates. He said that all four winning coalitions, the political groupings that together won about 90% of parliament's 325 seats, should play a role in the new government. We asked Charles Dunn, a scholar with the Middle East Institute, his opinion of that plan.
I think that's a good idea, and it would certainly reflect the will of the Iraqi people, but I think it's very problematic because all of these coalitions have serious differences, particularly over who should be the next prime minister. And these are not going to be resolved easily or very quickly simply by an urging from the United States. There are still a lot of issues to be worked out. Among them, for example, the fact that the leading Shiite coalition, the Iraqi National Alliance, has serious internal differences, has repeatedly postponed its meetings to select a next prime minister, and that outcome is far from certain or quick.
What should be done?
We need to give the Iraqis time to work out their internal political differences, and I think the U.S. should be more active in helping to urge them towards a solution. I mean, Iran certainly is playing that role, and I think in terms of the interests of the United States and the Iraqis themselves, we should be playing that role. To my mind, the most encouraging sign is, I think, that with a new ambassador in Baghdad, Jim Jeffrey, we are at least helping to facilitate some of these internal negotiations. And I think that's a positive sign.
Meanwhile, the clock is ticking for the U.S. withdrawal.
Correct. That is going to face the United States and the Iraqis with a whole raft of issues that go way beyond government formation, the foremost of which is, what will be the future of U.S.-Iraqi security relations, and will there be U.S. troops staying in Iraq after the end of 2011?
Do you think the troops should be staying there?
I think the troops should be staying there in some form. There's still a lot of very important roles for them to play. As we've seen, even after the end of so-called combat operations, the United States has been involved in firefights, support of Iraqi counterterrorism missions, including dropping 500-pound bombs on enemy positions. That kind of support the Iraqis are going to continue to need for a while. One of their chief generals said it might be needed until 2020. So whether we decide to stay or not in some form or fashion, at least is an issue that has to be seriously discussed and negotiated with the Iraqis.
Charles Dunn, a scholar with the Middle East Institute and former director for Iraq on the National Security Council. In Iraq, Ayad Alawi's Sunni-backed Iraqiya alliance won 91 parliament seats in March, while Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's Shiite-dominated State of Law alliance captured 89 seats. Each has been trying to form a ruling coalition, although neither group controls a bloc anywhere near the majority needed to govern 163 seats. Anti-American cleric Muqtada al-Sadr's political followers are a major partner in the Iraqi National Alliance, which controls about 70 seats. The powerful Islamic Supreme Council of Iraq and several smaller parties also are in the political partnership. The fourth coalition contending for government leadership is the Kurdistan Alliance, which has 43 seats, won by the two dominant Kurdish parties in Iraq. I'm Susan Yalkey in Washington.